We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun.
Does it not feel like Christmas Eve, gentlemen? Christmas Eve in July. August. It will be Christmas in August. Hockey's back tomorrow.
I like it. I love it.
What's wrong with you today, Craig?
What are we listening to this morning?
It's tomorrow's Christmas morning. Hockey is going to be played, Revs.
Thank you, Marty. Doesn't take rocket. Doesn't. Now. Hey, doesn't take rocket appliances, gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't take rocket appliances.
Anyway, Instigators, WGR 550. You heard the voice at the start of the show. Andrew and Craig, but you know what Friday means. Marty, all show, Darren Traeger at 11:30. And so before we get into all the amazing fact that hockey is back, okay? I'm not going to dwell on the simple fact that I was negative toward this for months, but I'm amazed. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to the preseason games. But I think it's interesting, Marty, you threw a subtle little dig at our boy, Riv, off the air.
Yeah.
And said, you know, it's funny, Riv, one day when I'm on, it's about physicality and toughness. And then when Duffer's on, it's all about scoring.
Well, maybe he's got chemistry just with Duffer. Or Duffer's, maybe Duffer so knows what to bring
Jekyll
out of
Hyde.
Riv. Yeah, but Duffer maybe knows how to bring Rivs out of his shell. We haven't gotten that. We haven't been able to bring Rivs out of his shell yet. So that's our issue. We got to work on that, Petey.
Listen. Oh, where do I even start this show with Marty attacking me already? Let's clarify. There's nothing wrong with having scoring. We all need scoring. But here's the thing. You can't have every single forward play the same way. And that's what we had. We've had that for many, many years. When are we going to get a player like Josh Anderson? That's just one guy that I've been talking about for literally ever. He's big, he's fast, he's explosive, and he scores goals. We need to find not only guys that add offense and guys that are skilled, but we need to have guys that have size, speed, aggression in the way that they play the game. And when I say aggression, that's not fighting. Fighting's out of the game. fighting is irrelevant in this game anymore. When I talk about aggression, I talk about guys that want to go to the dirty areas, that want to be first on puck for a puck battle, that want to go to the front of the net to make it difficult on a goaltender so he has to see around the big player, not being moved out in front of the net, not being afraid to get hacked and whacked by defensemen. We just don't have enough of those guys.
Rivs, how about this? Sabres just put out a press release just about a minute ago. They've announced a 2-year entry-level contract for forward Brett Murray, who played with Roch last year. He was he's a Canadian boy, but played at Penn State, played in the USHL. Guy is 6'4", 220 pounds, okay? He had 9 goals and 15 assists last year in Rochester. I went to Josh Anderson's page to see his first full year in the American League with Springfield. Josh Anderson had 7 goals and 17 assists in 52 games. Could, and I'm not saying, I don't know much about this Brett Murray guy, but they signed him to an entry-level deal after a season where he had an AHL contract. Instead of making a deal to go get a Josh Anderson, can you find a guy like that and say, hey, let's give these guys a try and let's see what they've got and develop them? I think it's about developing your own product. And maybe that's a guy like that that can develop into a Josh Anderson type hockey player.
Listen, I do remember Murray. I remember him being an extremely big guy. I remember him at the when we were at the Harbor Center and we were doing the prospects camp. I remember him on the ice. He was a very big guy that had actually very nice hands. He skated well, and he was on at the time on a tryout. They asked him to come to camp just to see, and he ended up earning a spot. And
well, he had scored 41 goals in 62 games in Youngstown in the USHL the year before. So he's a guy that can score. I mean, when he played, midget, he scored 40 in 66 games. He had 87 points. Like, this is a guy that growing up knew how to score goals, and he's got the size on top of it.
Well, both of them fourth round picks too. So it's not like Anderson's a first round pick, and we're talking about a guy who's a fifth rounder. I mean, it's not unrealistic to hope that a guy like this, Marty, as you pointed out, scored 41 goals in the USHL, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, obviously, the USHL is the best U.S. Junior hockey league. He had 41 goals, 76 points in 62 games. That's extremely impressive.
Well, Riff, the press release, actually, I said he was 6'4", 220. The press release says he's 6'5", 235.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to correct you, Marty. I'm trying to keep the bullying to a minimum, but yeah.
The other thing, too. Because it makes a difference. Because some parents, some dads, and maybe some moms, too, are having arguments with their children over the height and weight of certain players. Just a little insight on how things go sometime. I got a call yesterday from one Craig Rivet. He goes, Marty, how big is Dustin Byfuglien? I'm like, I don't know. Like weight-wise, he goes, yeah, how much does Dustin Byfuglien weigh when he played? I said, I think he was like 275. Thank you, Marty. Thank you. Because Mr. Craig Rivet was in an argument with his son, Nate, about how big Dustin Byfuglien was. So Rivs called me so I could just give my opinion, and then he won the argument. So press releases with height and weight, very important in case you're having an argument with your friends, your kids or whatever about players' height and weight.
Yeah, I'm sure Byfuglien would have preferred people to be saying he was like 260 though, instead of 275. This guy though, when you're 6'4", when you're listed as 6'4 and you're actually 6'5, that inch makes a difference. Someone listed me at 6'3, or if someone listed you at 6'1, or Marty, you at 6'1, like that inch, going back to your draft status and everything, like
I had a hockey card.
It makes a huge difference.
PD, I had a hockey card that said I was 6'3, And I was like, yes, yes, here it is. Like 6'2 was great, but 6'3 in my time was a tall, tall goalie, right? But I wasn't 6'3, so, but that inch makes a difference.
Well, listen, I said 6'4, he's 6'5.
So I love hearing that, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Rochester Americans, 55 games played last year, 9 goals, 24 points. I like hearing that. Big, big, thick, strong guy, might need another year to hone his skills to take maybe a bigger role in Rochester. But I'm going to tell you right now, this guy obviously looks like he's going in the right direction. He's got the right size. Now it'd be interesting to see how he skates. If he's a great skater and he can play in the National Hockey League with his speed and his size, then he becomes an asset. There's no question.
Speaking of speed and size, Instigators, we have all of that. WGR 550. Marty's on whole show. Darren Dreger at 11:30. We got to talk about the preseason games. Riv, I wasn't on yesterday with you, but there were more games last night and yesterday. I mean, Ryan Reeves, gentlemen, right to it. And, you know, like I'm just curious to know, thoughts on the Reeves hit, and does he get suspended? Was it clean? And I love it. So carry on.
Well, Riz, you want to start? Before we even start, what do you love about it?
I just love that kind of physicality was taking place. Like, I thought these preseason games were incredible, all of them. Like, maybe some of them weren't the most exciting, but I think for the time off that these players have had, I think the hockey's been unreal. And
you pointed it out, PD. This is not typical preseason and exhibition game. You don't have junior guys or AHL guys, and you don't have split squad. You have your actual team. So it was going to be better. I still don't think it's at the level that we will see it in a week from now.
Not even close, but I'm pretty impressed for 140 days off or whatever.
No, absolutely. Reeves, you want to take that Ryan Reeves hit, or do you want me to start and then you can rebuttal?
No, I'll start today, Marty. I think it's Bush League. I think it deserves probably a one-game suspension. It is a direct hit to the head. Can you say he was targeting the head? No, but he needs to be in control of his body. When a defenseman's coming around, or it wasn't a defenseman, it was actually a forward. He came around, he had a man on his back. He was in a vulnerable spot. Reeves came in and had a predatorial hit and hit his head. He even used a chicken wing. So if you slow it down and go over and over, he used the chicken wing. So that's my thought on it. I think it should be a one-game suspension going into the playoffs.
Okay, so I agree that I thought the hit was inappropriate in the matter that when he delivered the hit, I'm like, what is he doing? He completely hunted Schmaltz in that way that he came down from his point coverage position to deliver the hit. I'm like, there's really not a need for a hit to be thrown at that moment. But it's Ryan Reeves. So his job is to go and throw the body around. So I'm like, okay, I get that. I think it was borderline, like, what are you doing throwing a hit there? Now, John Shannon, you know, that covers the NHL formerly from Sportsnet, just tweeted, about 50 minutes ago that the NHL looked at the hit and the NHL felt it was unavoidable. And I looked at it and I broke it down. I don't like how Reeves hit with his forearm type of upper arm instead of going body on body. And I think that's what makes it hit the head. But I do feel that once Ryan Reeves committed to giving the hit, that it was, he went more through the body, but the head contact was unavoidable because of Schmaltz positioning in that way. So I'm okay with not suspending him. I would have been okay with a fine. I just don't like how Reeves needed to deliver that hit in the first place. I didn't like that.
Stupidest thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
JJ, can you mute Reeves?
NHL. Do you have the ability? Reeves hit.
Yes.
And felt it. It was unavoidable. Give me a break.
Okay, so who's buying?
I'm going to tell you this. The one time I come on this damn show, the one time I actually agree that we want to try and take these headshots out, the one time I say something and agree that something should be done, I'm so confused right now. I am completely off the charts. I have no idea. I don't care. You have to be in control of your body, Marty.
Okay, so get that, but really, if Ryan Reeves was standing there, okay, and like in basketball when you set a pick, right, and Ryan Reeves is standing there, Schmaltz would have ran into Reeves with his head first into the wall because of the position he put himself in. I completely agree that this was an unnecessary type hit, and the delivery of a big man like Ryan Reeves on Nick Schmaltz at that moment will create an impact, and he went definitely connected with the head.
I'm confused.
NHL. Go ahead, Park. Petey.
No, go ahead.
I don't know who you're talking to at the NHL, Marty, but I'm going to tell you what happened right here. They are just starting. They don't want any negative press. They want everybody just to everybody's happy. Everybody's back. These are exhibition game. They don't mean anything. Gary Bettman's probably tweeting or calling in saying, listen, let's just sweep this one under the rug. We haven't even started yet.
Don't start with these conspiracy, like Bettman is calling around and sweeping 100%. Under the rug. They would love to suspend Ryan Reeves. They would love to say, hey, Ryan Reeves, here's a 2-game suspension. You know why they would love to do that? Because Vegas is in the round robin. It doesn't matter. They are going to play 3 meaningless games coming up. So they would say, hey, let's suspend them for 2 or 3 games because it doesn't matter. But they're not going to do that.
The issue I have altogether, and if you're just tuning into the Instigators, we are talking about the Ryan Reeves hit already. Game one, and we're talking about suspension for Ryan Reeves. So I don't have an issue with where the contact was. And Craig, I mean, you go look at the initial point of contact. Number one, Schmaltz's head is on the other side of his arm, and he's bent right over. Ryan Reeves, his left leg is completely extended. His right leg is 45-degree angle. He's a big man. Schmaltz is 6 feet. Now he's putting himself in a position of being the height of a 5'5" or 5'6" person with where his head is. My bigger issue with Reeves' approach to the hit is his right knee. I don't have any issue with the contact with the...
Because it's going knee on knee?
It's going knee on knee. If you pause it right when he makes contact, he has his arm is tucked. We've always talked about that natural follow-through motion when you make a body check. And you follow through, and his knee is directly in line with Schmaltz's interior right knee. That's my bigger concern with the hit.
Yeah, you know what? Like, he's not going knee on knee there. He's trying to put his knee in the middle of his body,
And he does a good job. And I agree, that's what he's trying to do. And we've seen that before with other hits that result in knee on knee. This, to me... I never remember being taught to hit like that. But anyway,
Nick Schmaltz has no idea that knee was close to a knee on knee because he felt the full effect of the hit. But if
Marty talked on this show and he said, you know what the problem is with the contact these days? Guys are just taught now to just get a piece of a guy. They're not taught how to eliminate. And even right here, one of the biggest, baddest hitters in the NHL in Ryan Reeves is just trying to get a piece of the guy.
No, I think on this hit, Ryan Reeves is trying to eliminate.
If he's trying to eliminate, I think he would have gone sideways. I think he would have gone sideways.
Like, you go watch a guy like Pat Coletta, who literally did not try to get a piece of a guy. He tried to run a guy over. He would go sideways. Guys go sideways.
The getting a hit of the guys, that's when you see the elbow extending when you're about to miss a guy, or the knee extending when you're about to miss a guy. I truly believe that Ryan Reeves on this hit is trying to get to the middle of Nick Schmaltz and hit him right in the middle of the body. Wow. Nick Schmaltz's head is lowered and turning at the time. And if you go past, like if you go a couple of frames past, so there is contact with the head. Ryan Reeves' right elbow, like upper arm, hits Nick Schmaltz's jaw head area. But the follow through is a forearm to the chest. That's and really Craig, where you're trying to hit. The forearm
Craig,
to
let
the
me
chest.
Just say this to you. Let me just say this to you as you go off on your rant. I'm disappointed in you today. Because since when have you been a guy that supported the guy coming out of the corner with his head down with the puck in his feet? Like, why is he opening up to the middle of the ice when he doesn't even know where the puck is? Is that just
because
Russ? Is that
a guy
just the
chasing him and he doesn't think there's a, he doesn't think
on.
Ryan Reeves is
Marty
coming
stay
down.
In the crease. Marty stay in the crease.
No, like, but I'm telling you, I was watching the game live when that happened, and when I saw Ryan Reeves come down to hit him, I'm like, what is he doing?
You're telling me, what do you mean, what is he doing? What do you mean? He's setting the tone. That's a great hit.
But there's only one guy out of 700 guys in the National Hockey League that would deliver that hit, and that's him.
Nah, there's more than that. But Tom Wilson would too. But you know what? That's what these guys are supposed to do. You know what? Nick Schmaltz has got to be smarter. And I would say it to any other player. He's not a big guy. Know who you're on the ice against.
That's true.
We talk about that all the time. Know who you're on the ice against. Know where the puck is. Instigators. We're talking about the Ryan Reeves hit. Craig, anything to rebut there?
Yeah,
there's
he's
nothing
rebutting
to
on the text message. He's
there's nothing to, rebut today. Like, I mean, this is, to me, this conversation, I get more confused every single year I'm on the show. I sit there and I know that the way I played the game, and I know the way I like the game to be played, but I'm also trying to be a person that can understand that change needs to happen to keep all these players safe. And as much as I liked playing in the, the old wild, wild west, where it was like, you know, just try and survive, which I enjoyed being a part of that because it was exciting for me. I'm also understanding that I need to change. I need to change with the times, and we need to protect these players.
Then the conversation isn't this. The conversation is taking hitting out of the game completely then.
Oh, I'm going to tell you this. Go and look at the video.
We'll eliminate bodies. Pin and contain. We'll pin and contain against the boards. That's what we're going to be taking this game to, which is fine because we want more offense and we don't want our players getting hurt. But I mean, I don't know what we're talking about here. I really don't know. I thought this was going to be a quick conversation. I sit and I listen and I'm kind of just blown away at the fact that we're discussing a guy that does this on a nightly basis. He's talked about regularly, and more often than not, I will always say the onus is put on the guy getting hit. And in this particular situation, it's no different for me.
And that's why that comment right there is like from a dinosaur hockey player.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
No, it's
not. He went
not.
There.
Oh,
he went
really?
There. Go ahead.
Really? Mr. Dinosaur himself. Are you kidding me? Are you serious right now? A dinosaur? Then
go
you
ahead and
to,
tell me exactly what you said again, Petey.
The old what?
Say it again.
Oh, my gosh. This is not Marty McSorley catching Doug Gilmore across the blue line in the conference finals after he dropped the puck 3 seconds ago. This is about a guy that literally had the puck in his feet and turned into open ice. And we're going to – so what should Ryan – what would you like in the non-dinosaur day of hockey,
so,
Craig? Seeing that you've changed so much – since
so
Wednesday, you have changed so much since Wednesday. Why don't you tell me what you want Ryan Reeves to do there? Come down and just poke the puck away? rub Schmaltz on the head and say, hey, buddy, I could have smoked you there, but I like, gave you a pass because it's an exhibition game.
Another thing, PD.
Can I just rebuttal on that first, Marty?
Yes, you can.
Well, I don't know. If Marty's going to defend me, if Marty's going to defend me, he speaks. If you're otherwise.
Okay. So what you just said to me is that the onus is on the player that has the puck. It's his job not to get hit. It's his job to know where people are. And
I didn't say it's his job not to get hit.
Who's on the ice? Who's
on
the ice?
He's got to be able to put himself in a less vulnerable position. And there is
So the onus is on the player that has
the puck. Now, had he turned to protect the puck against the boards and his numbers were showing and re-blasted him into the boards, I'd be saying get him out of the game.
Hey, can I mention something?
I don't know if Rivs was done yet. Were you done?
No, because everybody's talking. As a, you had your moment. I basically threw out an atomic bomb because I believe what you just said is basically someone who's played in the league 10, 15, 20 years ago. When we played, Petey, you and I and Marty, the onus was on the guy with the puck. Okay?
Yes.
If you put yourself in a bad position, then you deserve to get your head taken off. That was our mentality back in the day. Now the onus is on the hitter. The onus is on the hitter to be safe.
Yes.
This play here, I can show you that Schmaltz did not know that Reeves was coming until the last second. I can show you in this video that Ryan Reeves goes in and makes a hit. Marty said it best. He tried to target the chest, but the problem is Schmaltz, like you said, was in a vulnerable position. He was bent over like he was 5'4", and he directly hit the head. So who is the onus on? Is the onus on Schmaltz, who has the puck, or is the onus on the hitter who hit the head?
Okay.
Both? Can we say both?
No, it's not both.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What happened to you? Where have you gone?
In today's game, Petey, the onus of protection is on the hitter. Ryan Reeves, because Schmaltz is in such a vulnerable position, shouldn't have been making the hit. Therefore, he wouldn't have hit the head.
Then tell players not to hit anymore.
Now, do I have a couple of minutes before we go to break just to wrap this up?
Yeah, no. We'll talk about it when we come back. Makes for a great tease because I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I'm floored this morning. Instigators, we'll be back. Doesn't happen often. Doesn't happen often. WGR 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is where it's at. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Welcome back to the Instigators here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Before we go into this or that, I just want to say this about the Ryan Reeves, and then we'll move on, or maybe we'll talk about it in the second hour, is that every hit is different. I'll tell you this. Sometimes you look at the hit and you say the onus is on the hitter to not put himself in that position. Sometimes you'll look at a hit and you'll say the onus is on the puck carrier to not put himself in that position. Every hit is different. We can't make it black or white. We have to read between the lines. And I think that one here is a really good example of that. Reading between the lines here as to what needs to happen. But let's have some fun, fellas, okay, with the this or that. And maybe we talk about guys getting hit and there's going to be some concussion. There's going to be some guys getting cut. I saw Mark Minnesota Wild. He got cut in the face. He had to leave. Well, the Minnesota Wild don't have their team doctors on site the same way that it used to when you would travel for playoffs. So you guys have been in the medical room. Do you prefer the league doctors or your own doctors when you got to get taken care of? And there's pros and cons for both. So I'm asking you this or that. League doctors or team doctors when you got to come off the ice?
What, for stitches?
Stitches, or if you got your bell wrong and they need to clear you to go back?
For a concussion, I would want the league doctors. For stitches, I don't really care.
Petey, this or that, league doctors or team doctors?
Probably team doctors, but I mean, you know, as long as he has the thing hanging on his wall that says he graduated, I'll trust him.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes, you know, a team doctor may be more inclined to say, okay, go back, and I don't know. I mean, it's their job and they need to protect the players, but it may be.
Yeah,
league
doctor might keep you out of the game. Team doctor might be a little more lenient to letting you go back. I see what you're saying, but I don't know. You know, as long as
that's exactly why I said the league.
Yeah.
A lot of these doctors you have relationships with, you talk to them on, you know, almost a weekly basis. And for me, it's like when you get a conky or your bell rung, you're more inclined to talk, talk a team doctor into letting you go back.
Yeah.
Would you not think?
The onus is on the player there to be honest. And not get hit.
Onus, yeah. But if the player has a concussion, he might not be able to recognize the fact that it's a moment to be honest or dishonest.
Exactly. Okay, let's move on. Rivs, when we played in the World Championship in 2003, there was no media allowed in the locker room, which allowed us after practice or after games to sit around and have a couple of beers. Like, that was, you never can have a few beers after a game in the locker room because the media is always in there. It almost felt like, you know, like, old timer hockey or garage league type feeling. You sit around in your gear drinking a beer. I'm asking you this, in this bubble type hockey, what player's gonna drink after game with no media in the locker room? Will they drink a couple of beers or will they stick with their protein shake and green juice? This or that, beers or healthy stuff?
This one was probably the easiest diss or dat I've had in a very long time. These guys are not the same as, what happened, 15, 20 years, 30 years ago. The game has changed. These guys take care of themselves better than any NHL professional athlete has in the past. There is going to be zero beer in that locker room. There is no question about it. I see them drinking waters and electrolyte drinks.
Doing shots of Pedialyte.
Shots of Pedialyte. That's a good one. Petey, what do you think? Will one guy, like a veteran guy, would Alex Ovechkin crack it open in the locker room?
There's still some old school guys, Rivs. I mean, you're making it sound like we're in, you know, the year 2050. I still believe there's a few beer guzzlers in this league. And, I will say this. Yes, Marty, I think some guys, mostly protein shakes. But I will ask you guys this. I always said that if I were a coach in the AHL or a professional level in any sport, you're tight and going into the third period, You just bring in a bucket of ice with six beers in it, and you go, game winner gets the six pack. You can share them with whoever you want. Talk about motivation.
I like that. And it's cold and you know it's waiting for you. I think that's a great leadership move right there by UPD.
Just great. Six beers. You can give the guy who gets the game winner can give them out, give a couple to each player, a few guys, and then boom.
Pick your favorite.
Little added incentive there. Doesn't take much.
You guys are out of touch, man.
Riv spent too much time with either two things. Either Rivs was under the sun too much yesterday and it fried his brain, or Duffer really had a good effect on him.
Rivs literally went from the oldest school guy to a millennial in a matter of minutes. Like, I'm talking like 18 hours, maybe? Anyway, Riv, you're okay. On fire today. I like
one
this
more hockey. One more hockey one, and Mike Babcock just signed on with the University of Vermont as a volunteer advisor coach. So obviously he's not going to be involved in the everyday thing, but he will be a volunteer advisor coach. I'm asking you this, and you both have done some coaching in youth levels. What's the better way to go as a coach? Go Division I college and be a coach? Or go Canadian juniors and be a coach? This or that? College or junior if you want to be a NHL coach?
I have no experience with D1.
No, I know, but
I would say
the lines.
Yeah, no, I know. And I would say just, you know, playing junior and whatnot. D1 as a player, D1 as a coach, D1, yeah, just Division I. I appreciate what junior hockey is, but I love just what college hockey's doing.
Rams, this or that, being a coach in Division I college hockey or juniors in Canada?
Well, the quickest way to the National Hockey League is through the CHL. That's the Canadian Hockey League, the Western Hockey League, the Ontario Hockey League, and Quebec Major Junior.
As a player or as a coach?
As a player.
Okay.
As a coach, same thing. If you win in the Ontario Hockey League as a coach, you skyrocket yourself to being one of the guys that can take over an NHL position.
Well, so I mean, the best example are like guys like Sheldon Keefe, right? He was coaching in juniors in the OHL. Now he's with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But you have coaches.
Who's the guy in Ottawa now?
That's DJ Smith. He was with Toronto.
Oshawa General.
But you also have some guys like in New York with the Rangers, right? What's his name with the Rangers? The head coach. He was a college guy. He had... Axtell was a college guy before with the Flyers. You've got a lot of college guys that are getting to the NHL, so the gap is closed a lot. So, but anyway. One more topic, and I've got a couple of this or that for that. NBA started yesterday. They started their full resume season or return to play yesterday. The Lakers played the Clippers, so it was a showdown of LeBron and Kawhi Leonard. I'm simply asking you this. If you had an NBA team, which one would you want on your team? LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard? This or that?
Oh, man.
Ribs is tapping out. He's like, I don't care about the NBA.
No. That's not true. That's not true at all. But you're asking me, do you take a... Basically, he's going to go down as an icon in basketball, as arguably the greatest player to ever play basketball in LeBron James.
Yep.
Or are you going to pick a player that exudes team camaraderie, his demeanor with the media and everything? He seems very calm, very collected, and he's obviously one of the best players in the league right now.
Well, I'm telling you right
Kawhi
now.
Leonard, I would probably take LeBron James, because LeBron James is just like, I don't know if you've watched any of the basketball that's happened, but I mean, he looks like he's a man against boys playing against the best players
in
the league.
35. He's not. It's not like he's 42 playing in the NBA. He's only 35. He should still be dominated. I think LeBron. Who do you think, PD? I know you have your Raptors hat a lot, and we don't.
Yeah, totally. Kawhi Leonard is the reason why I even bought my We the North hat. He's the reason why I watched basketball last year. So I want everyone to understand, when I pick Kawhi Leonard here, it's not because I think he's better than LeBron. It's because no one else is going to pick him, because this is such an imbalance in terms of stardom and just kind of a guy that I think flies under the radar, but still gets it done and gets notoriety. I got to go Kawhi Leonard. He's clutch. He's won with two different teams. He's been the MVP of the playoffs. I mean, but LeBron James, I don't know. I don't want to ever say he's the greatest basketball player ever, because that's Michael Jordan and will always be to me. But that's maybe the dinosaur in me, Riv, because maybe that's our parents that are talking Gordie Howe and all these guys. So anyway, I'm going Kawhi Leonard. But we all know LeBron James is going to be taken by 99% of the population.
Okay, very quickly. I don't know if you saw the NBA, the guys going into the cold tub after games. They have these little inflatable kiddie pools that are, you know, 10 feet apart, so they're social distancing, and they can sit in these inflatable kiddie pool to go in the cold tub. I was never a cold tub type guy, but I'm asking you this. What do you like better, or what's better for you, the cold tub or the hot tub? This or that? Very simple. Cold tub or hot tub? This or that?
Hated the cold tub.
Hated it.
Did you put the body glove things on your toes and stuff?
No, I didn't go in there. I hated it. I only did the hot tub. Every morning, I'd show up, go take a shower, and then I'd soak into the hot tub. It was fantastic.
How many times did guys always come in and joke, oh, country club, hey, Marty, it's country
Absolutely.
Club.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, the old, hey, country club. Hey. Oh, I remember. I couldn't. You weren't allowed in the hot tub in Roch as a rookie. You got caught in Snacky's hot tub in that room, you were going to get absolutely chewed apart.
Ribs, cold tub or hot tub?
I would say this, that the cold tub is definitely, definitely more useful to the body after a game. But I didn't use it because I hated it. It was far too cold. It's either – I found like the cold tub was either that you were using it religiously, or you didn't use it at all. You were like one or the other. And I was on the side of just get me in the hot tub before a game, you know, just a couple minutes in the hot tub to warm up your legs and your body, go take a shower, get into my underwear and stuff, and I'd go from there. So I use the hot tub a lot more.
Vinny Prospel in New York used to go in the cold tub after every practice for literally a half an hour, and he would read the newspaper. He would sit on the edge of it with facing outside of the cold tub, and he would have the New York Post and would read the sports section and page six and all of that. He would sit there for a half an hour. I don't know how he did it, but anyway.
Rip, I thought you know, sure you were. Do you know that Patrick Marleau, for his entire 20-year career or 20-plus year career, every single period gets fully undressed, goes into the cold tub for like 10 minutes, gets out, dries himself, underwear, gets dressed again and out for the next period. Every single period.
That's a lot of work.
That's commitment to performance right there. Hey, Rich, I thought for sure.
It's like more routine, right?
I thought for sure you were going to say cold tub because it helps you fall asleep at night with going to bed with a little chill. That's what I thought you were going to say.
The hot tub makes you fall asleep. You're like all relaxed and you're good for bed. So anyway, we have to go to break here. We have one segment before the second hour, and we will do our predictions. We will talk NHL predictions. The return to play qualifying round starts tomorrow. We have to talk predictions. before we leave for the end of the show today. So let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back with Buy Sell Trade on the other side of this break on the Instigators.
You're a bully, Marty. You're a bully. Right. You're being a bully.
I'm running the show here. Let's go to break.
You're being a bully.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Instigators, WTR 550. It's Friday. Marty for the full 2 hours. Darren Dreger at 11:30.
Instead of talking, we should just let the music play for the next 3 minutes and go to break.
No,
let
you know
song
why?
Play out.
Do you know why? Because Braden gives you carte blanche. I even use a French term there for you, Marty. He gives you carte blanche to pick a song, and you got to go pick something from Jock Jams.
That's not really what I was thinking about. I'm just thinking, it's the final countdown. We have hockey tomorrow. We have to do a prediction. We have Darren Dreger. The weekend is upon us.
You didn't sell the tie-in.
Well, I don't have to.
You didn't sell the tie-in. The tie-in. Instigators,
WTR 550. It's like when you played So This Is Christmas, and Ribs is like, what are we listening at?
Yeah, I expect a little different out of him out of that one. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, I heard a saying once: if you're not striking out, you're not trying. You can insert that to anything in your life.
I'll also say this: I don't know if you guys ever played Dance Dance Revolution on the Wii, but the final countdown on Dance Dance Revolution is pretty good. The pump up, pump down. Turn around, like it's really good. I'm telling you, you got to get going.
So what do you have to do on that game? You have to dance around.
Yeah, you basically have the one remote in your hand, and you have to dance, and it gives you score when you hit the moves. You have to follow along to the screen. It's great.
I would pay a large sum of money to watch you do that.
Well, let's have a Dance Dance Revolution, social distancing Dance Dance Revolution party. Let's do it.
No.
Obviously. You don't like
going over to. I'm going over to Petey's. Whenever he invites me over to his house, he's got a nice pool. He's got lounging. Like, Petey's. We need to all go over to Petey's place.
You know what's funny? There's a reason why none of you have ever been invited.
Why?
I get my fix from 10 to noon, and it's really all I can take.
Wow.
You guys are welcome to come over anytime you want. I've told you, Riv. I grill you guys a steak. I love to grill. I'd be happy to entertain.
Marty, you get the impression it's called, what you're saying is we have to self-invite ourselves.
No. It means you have to take advantage of the open invite. Like,
I'll tell you this. That's how I grew up. I don't mind it. I didn't have to call my buddy and say, hey, can I come over tomorrow? I walked over to his house. I didn't even knock on the door. I opened the front door and walked in. And my buddies just did the same thing at my house. Like, that's
how I grew up. You
know
the thing is, Riff? Like a true friend, it's like you could just show up to a true friend's house. I think the fear is that they're just going to say to you at the door, it's not a good time. Then you don't know where your friendship stands.
Sure.
You guys are just too hard to lock down. Between the two of you, you got 8 kids. I can't keep track of your schedules. Speaking of schedules.
No, but we could bring him over to your house and have him like entertain Brody for a little bit. That would be great.
You guys want to plan a play date? Let's do it. But let's just not do it on the air, okay? Because I don't think people need to know our business like that. Instigators, speaking of schedules, Darren Dreger at 11:30. We got to get out of here for break. When we come back, our buy-sell trade will involve a sweep in the qualifier round, and we're going to do our predictions. I don't know who out there is not excited about hockey, but I know it's August 1st, and I can tell you what, this is exactly what the world needs. The world needs the NHL, and they need it tomorrow, and we're going to get it, and we'll be right back to talk about it. Instigators, WGR 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.